Hello, you are listening to Nancy Goodaim, the Space Ranger, and this is Chapter 20. Now, if you've ever been chased by an injured wizard through the forest of Proverbs on Jupiter, you will know that it can be a very disorientating experience, because the fauna has been there for 4.5 billion years, and during that time, nothing has ever tamed the growth. And this half-billion-year-old untamed fauna meant that European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy McGinley, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow, Martian waitress slash astronaut Martina Rudlesplitch, and the sheriff were finding it hard to tell where they were going to. They knew where they were going away from, which was the part of Jupiter occupied by a loud and injured profanity-yelling Jupiterian wizard called Oberon. Is that yelling getting louder or further away? Asked Bart. He'd been following his European Space Agency colleague Nancy McGinley on a zigzag course through increasingly dense purple forest floor vegetation, and was in turn being followed by a Martian sheriff and a Martian waitress called Martina Rudlesplitch. The yelling Bart was referring to was a long stream of distinctly Jupiterian expletives, containing words like Glaber, Huggledonk, Conuntru, Flamb, Chirpucket, Gondinka, Flasnert, and Fumblewonker.
I think it's further away, Bart, replied Nancy. It's hard to tell the way the words are bouncing off the trees.
Nancy was following a path that nobody in the group knew, herself included. Her aim had been to put distance between herself, Bart, Martina and the sheriff, and the angry and demented wizard. It had been only a matter of time before someone questioned her navigation.
Where are we going, Nancy?
Asked the sheriff, who stopped to lean his arm against a tree and prompted the three others to pause their undergrowth wrangling run.
Hobble o' Granicker, replied Martina,
who took the opportunity to squat down and wipe her brow.
I think, she added.
Are we going to Hobble o' Granicker, Nancy? She added after that.
Yes, eventually. Hopefully.
We should try and rescue the Jupiterians first, though.
That, Nancy, would be impossible, explained the sheriff. Because the wizard got the best of me, and I am by far the strongest and most capable in this group.
I think he's gone demented, though, noted Nancy.
Listen, the wizard's voice was faint, distant, and confused.
I will summon the devil to punish you, sheriff. You think you can have away with my washerwoman and my girlfriend in one treacherous act, you hobbledong flump of a Glaber? I am going to destroy you if it's the last thing I do. And even the guts won't save you!
Nancy, Bart, Martina and the sheriff continued listening for some time. Distant crashing explosions were punctuated with more ranting, which gradually grew fainter.
Which one of you is his girlfriend? Asked Bart.
I think it's Martina. He wanted me to wash his clothes, said Nancy.
I never knew you went out with the wizard Oberon, Martina, said the sheriff.
I didn't. He's mad.
Nancy's shot must have sent him over the edge, if he wasn't there already.
Ah, I see, Martina. That's what I thought. I just needed to check. That goes to show, wandering about in the woods, appearing in extraterrestrial dreams, is not a recipe for good mental health.
Where did you say we were heading, Nancy?
Just away from the wizard, and to find somewhere to spend the night. I don't think it's safe here after dark. I don't want any of us to end up like Chuzz Rontlepeck.
You would need to have spent years working as an immigration official to end up like Chuzz Rontlepeck,
noted the sheriff.
Are we close to this safe place you were speaking about?
Nancy didn't figure the sheriff as someone given to much sarcasm, but at the same time did not have an honest answer for his question either.
Yes, she said dishonestly.
Her answer, brief as it was, seemed to be what the sheriff and Martina and Bart wanted to hear.
Good, said the sheriff.
Is anyone else hungry? Asked Bart.
I am, replied Martina.
Nancy continued walking, pausing every few minutes to listen out and not hear the wizard. Bart followed Nancy, Martina followed Bart, and the sheriff followed Martina. And so it went for the best part of an hour, until the tree canopy opened up and the group found themselves once again on the bank of a stream.
Are we here? Asked Bart.
I hope so, replied the stream, because if you're not, then I'm hallucinating.
Who said that? Asked Bart. He's full of questions, that fella, isn't he, Nancy? Said the stream.
Nancy walked to the edge of a sloping mossy bank that led down to the stream and motioned for Bart, Martina and the sheriff to stand still with the palm of her left hand. All three stopped walking and looked down into the stream to see if they could spot where the voice was coming from. Nancy knelt down.
We need your help,
she said. She spoke to the water. The stream was wider than earlier, the bank steeper, and the flow was faster. It was about 10 meters wide, and the dark color of the water indicated that it was now deeper than before.
I know that,
said the stream. I was there and I saw what happened between yourselves and that wizard. He really has it in for ye now. You especially, Nancy.
Then why didn't you do anything? You helped in Chapter 10. And I didn't ask then. Remember? When you told me the others were hiding in a Zockalong bush. And the Tangagan was hunting us.
The stream gurgled loudly. Bart turned to Martina and the sheriff and then back to Nancy and said,
I know you told me earlier that you were talking to the stream, but I figured it was a metaphor or that you'd gone a bit loopy with all the interstellar travel and bloodthirsty creatures. But a talking stream?
The stream went silent, then said, I'm not supposed to interfere, Nancy.
So I didn't. And anyways, the wizard is a bit of a tattletale and word would surely get out if I openly helped extraterrestrials on a mission to kill Sosman Borkstapple. But seeing as the wizard is out of earshot and gone demented with a broken wand, well, I'm free to talk now. You know what they say in the Forest of Proverbs? They say, what the ear doesn't hear, the heart won't grieve. I mean, of course, the wizard is grieving plenty over his wand. The thing is bent crooked. It's funny, really. He was in so much pain after you shot him in the arm that he sat on it, Nancy.
I don't think that's funny at all, interrupted the sheriff. A man's wand, much like the seat of his trousers or his crossbow, is his castle. In fact, a man's wand is commonly in the seat of his pants. So that's 2 out of 3 precious things desecrated in one foul swoop. The poor wizard.
What do you mean, the poor wizard? He was going to slap the head off you at the end of the last chapter, asked Bart. Do you not find it strange talking to a stream?
No. Why, do you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, no matter what you think is strange, Bart, you should consider the poor wizard. You're a male. You should be sympathetic. How would you like it if your wand was bent in two because you accidentally sat on it?
Huh?
It must be big to have warped so easily. Show some respect, or at least show some compassion for a fellow solar systemian man with a crooked wand to deal with.
Nancy waved for Bart and the sheriff to be quiet. She was not sure how she could possibly rescue the 3 Jupiterians, or where she was going in general. And this was complicated by the fact that Bart, Martina and the sheriff were following her. The stream had given good counsel the last time she spoke with it.
Whisht, she whooshed. I want to hear what the stream is saying. You can discuss the wizard's wand later,
she addressed the stream.
Okay, so if you can't interfere physically, stream, can you interfere with advice or knowledge?
You know I can, Nancy. And the advice is to get out of the Forest of Proverbs and stay away from it. And, well, from the parts of Jupiter that I've seen, there's no better place to go than the Sea of Uncertainty. Actually, I'm heading that way right now if you want to join me.
But what about the Jupiterians? You saw that the Wizard Oblong has them under some sort of spell.
Indeed. You should probably take them with you when you leave.
How?
Asked Bart. The stream bubbled and splashed a wave almost halfway up onto the bank.
Do you mind? I was talking to Nancy, not you,
replied the stream. Now, Nancy, there are a number of things you could do to free your friends, but probably the easiest thing would be to convince them that the magic Oberon used on them is not real. It's a well-known fact that once you stop believing in magic, it stops working. So just convince them that their upright, captive, vibrating predicament is all smoke, strings and mirrors. Oh wait, will you ask me how you should get out onto the Sea of Uncertainty? Because if you were, then the answer is to take a falafel bomb. Bert looked at Nancy and then back to the stream.
A what?
He asked.
I was talking to Nancy, but anyways, I said, falafel bomb,
replied the stream. Bart looked back at Nancy again. It was clear he expected her to say something to explain what the stream meant. She didn't.
We can't risk going back upstream now. The wizard Oberon is out for our blood. You said so yourself.
That is true, replied the stream. But there are many ways of going unnoticed on Jupiter. Take me, for example. I see everything around me, but nobody knows where my eyes are. In fact, I bet you don't know where my mouth is. And yet, you can hear me talking.
Replied Nancy. Would your mouth be at the Sea of Uncertainty?
It would.
You are indeed smart, Nancy.
Bart was about to speak, but Nancy motioned for him to be quiet.
Right, what would be one of the many ways of going unnoticed on Jupiter, other than being you? She asked. For you and your 3 friends, a good way would be to get hold of the Ladder of Insignificance.
Bart shook his head and tried to speak again, but Nancy spoke before he said a word.
How? Or where do we get that?
I think Nathie McGaspug has it.
I think. It's hard to know, and that's the thing about the Ladder of Insignificance. You tend to forget about it.
Anyways, Nathie lives with his wife Breezy. She's a strange old woman, that one. I often wonder what Nathie saw in her, but, you know, they both chose to live in the Forest of Proverbs.
Chose to. Of their own free will. So I suppose that makes them both a bit, strange.
Still, she's a weird one. And ugly too.
Nancy could sense that a long-winded story was imminent. She knew that much like Bip's Hobblegranacher Defence League establishment and internal division shenanigans, the stream story of Nathie and Breezy McGaspug's romance was going to take time to listen to. Time neither she nor Bart nor the sheriff nor Martina Ruddlesplitch had. "That's nice," she said. "How far is it to where they live?"
I suppose it was something to do with the fact that the pair of them liked to wander about bollock naked. Made them stand out in the upworld cities. Although, if they had the ladder of insignificance back then, standing out wouldn't have been a problem.
Nancy glanced impatiently behind her.
"Well, what are you keeping ear out for the wizard?"
Martina nodded and turned away from the stream to face back into the woods. She heard nothing except the whistling of spontaligers and the bubbling of the stream behind her. Nancy glanced at Bart and gave him a "just keep your mouth shut" stare before she spoke again.
"Sorry, stream, where do this couple live?
The McAspugs?
I used to know well where they lived, but my memory has been hazy ever since Nitty borrowed the ladder of insignificance. Their home definitely is on one of my banks. The left one. Sorry, no, the right one, as you're facing forward. And probably not far."
"Downstream?" suggested Nancy.
"Almost certainly, because that is probably the type of place the McAspugs would both like to live. You know, with access to both spontaligers and a trade route. Perfect for shipping crates of spontaligers out to the cities, I'd say. Anyways, they used to ship the spontaligers out in large, self-aware crates. Well, self-aware is a bit of a stretch, but the crates were robotic and could float, had motors, and knew enough of the universe to understand their purpose was to transport spontaligers to the upland cities and come back with supplies to a pair of bollock-naked Jupiterians. I doubt those crates thought about much else. Maybe they're still operating. Actually, if you see a crate taking itself off for a trip down the river, you're almost certainly near where the McAspugs live."
"So, downstream is the way then?"
"Definitely, I'd say. In fact, I think I can remember where they live. And I suppose it wouldn't count as interference if I showed ye the way. After all, I'd be just following my course, and you would be just following the plot."
A large bubble of water burst to the surface in the centre of the stream.
"Nancy, there's something else you should know."
"I think I can hear the wizard again," said Martina.
"That is what I was about to say, Martina," noted the stream. "Well, not exactly that. I was going to warn Nancy that the wizard was on his way, but close enough. In any case, you should all follow me. I leave a trail of bubbles, so if anyone asks, I wasn't helping extraterrestrials on a quest to butcher the nice leader of this planet."
"What is the wizard saying, Martina?"
asked Nancy.
"Hard to hear. Something about torturing the sheriff, I think," replied Martina.
"We should go."
"Yes, good idea," agreed the sheriff. "Let's follow the bubbles, like the stream is not suggesting."
"Thanks for keeping the secret, fat man," said the stream. "The Book of Bonglan forbids contact between mortal creatures and magical entities. I think it's a load of bollocks myself, but you're best to go along with it on Jupiter, if you know what I mean. By the way, the wizard is very close now."
"Come on,"
urged Nancy. And so, for the second time that day, Nancy began directing Bart, Martina and the sheriff on a path away from an injured and demented wizard. But this time, she had a destination, of sorts. The group hadn't gone more than 10 metres when the sheriff stopped to question what he was doing.
"Hang on," he said. "That makes no sense. I don't see how the wizard could have broken his magic utensils by sitting on it. Those things are flexible and shouldn't deform easily. At least not that easily."
"Are you still wittering on about the wizard's wand, sheriff?" asked Nancy.
"Yes.
Well, it was fairly small and narrow. At least the one I saw was. So I'm not surprised it broke easily. Now come on, we don't have time for this."
"The wizard showed you his wand? Are you sure it's not you that is the wizard's girlfriend, Nancy? And not Martina?"
"Neither of us are his girlfriend," snapped Martina. "The man is demented."
"Well, you would be too if you'd just broken your wand," noted the sheriff. "Am I right, Bart?"
"I have no idea what you're on about, sheriff. But wand must mean something else on Jupiter. Sorry, I mean Mars. Anyways, with respect, could you shut your pie hole till we get and do whatever the stream and Nancy had planned?"
Bart's response inspired several seconds of silence. The silence was filled with the voice of a distant but advancing rant. The rant went something along the lines of,
"Extraterrestrials, flugged up and whickled for the time I gave to you, the Fongolurus. I'm gonna enjoy the pain of ripping the Von Trugel club straight out of... Obelig on my wand, my lovely wand. I just can't believe, I can't believe it's broken. Sheriff, if you can hear me, you're going to die by my hand."
"Okay, I'll be quiet. But not because you asked, Bart.
Because I have chosen to," noted the sheriff.
And so it was that once again, Nancy, Bart, Martina and the sheriff retaliated their chase and were soon at a place where the stream widened to what could be better described as a river. The bubbles continued appearing in the river and Nancy continued to carefully match their pace as they moved downstream.
Now, if you've never visited Breezy and Neaty McAspug at their treehouse home in the Forest of Proverbs on Jupiter, then you won't know that it is sited at a bend in the stream/river/striver, close but not too close to the edge of the Sea of Uncertainty. Close enough to make it easy for autonomous robot transporters to motor their way upriver, unload supplies and unload spontaligers, but not so close that their dwelling could be easily found.
This meant that Brazy and Natty can, or could, enjoy a life of nudity in comfort thanks to the plentiful spontaligers that manned for them in the upland cities and 24 mute transport machines. By the way, and just for reference, the robot transporters are 3 meters cubed in size, made of tantalium, and have small propellers and fins to guide them along. They are generally ignored outside of the times they powder themselves into the robotic clutches of the machines operating at the harbour/warehouse labelled McCaspug Spontaligers in Class Bebron, and also when they powder into a bend of the river running through the valley of Polynasp that is close but not too close to the edge of the Sea of Uncertainty. Anyways, this bend in the river was where the bubbles appearing in the stream that Nancy had been following stopped. Right, Nancy, this is the place. If you walk a little further round the bend, you will see a treehouse. That is where the McGaspugs live. Nancy stopped walking. So did Bart and Martina and the sheriff.
So if we get hold of this ladder of insignificance, it'll make us invisible to the wizard Oblerón.
It will make you invisible to everyone and everything, which has the potential to be useful, although it's hard to tell if it is, as no one has ever heard from anyone who used it. Although, come to think of it, that stands to reason. Anyways, I think I've helped enough. Remember, if anyone asks, I had nothing to do with you getting here. And, Nancy, between you and me, I'd be glad to see the end of Sosman's rule. You know, when I said earlier that if anyone asks, you should say that I wasn't helping extraterrestrials on a quest to butcher the nice leader of this planet?
Yes, said Nancy.
I was being sarcastic, continued the stream. Well, not about the not technically helping ye bit. That much is true. But about the nice leader. Sosman Barkstapple is a rotten leader. And I, for one, would be glad to see the back of him. Or see him horizontal and not alive anyway. Not that the stuff he does has any impact on me or any of the other magical entities. But, you know, he's a complete gobshite. So the very best of luck with your mission, Nancy. And then the river was gone. Or at least no longer speaking or bubbling. It was just splashing and gurgling the way most streams and rivers do. Regardless of which planet in the solar system they happen to be on.
Keep an eye out for a treehouse, said Nancy.
Like that one there? Asked Bart. That one there, he referenced and pointed to, was a large wooden structure over a small shallow tributary about 8 metres in from the stream. It was a rectangular shape partly built on stilts and partly built into 3 trees. There were several shuttered windows on the single-storey structure.
Well spotted, said Nancy.
She was given credit where credit was due. The house fitted in perfectly with the forest, making it almost impossible for anyone not specifically looking for a place of residence to notice it. The ground surrounding it had been cleared, but not in a very noticeable way.
I spotted it first, noted the sheriff, but thought it was better to let ye three spot it yourselves. You know, it's good training for your eyes.
One of the shutters on one of the windows was rapidly and suddenly forced open, and the head of an elderly humanoid lady leaned out. She had wild, straggly grey hair, wild eyes, and a demented expression. And from the parts of her that were visible, as she leaned out, she was bollock naked.
What do ye not want? She roared.
Reply yelled Nancy. We are looking to see if we could borrow the ladder of insignificance.
Ha!
Cackled the woman.
Ha!
She repeated.
Ye'll be lucky. Nitty went off to fetch that many planetary cycles ago, died, and never returned. Ha! She added.
Oh, yelled Nancy. Sorry to hear that.
Don't be sorry. I'd forgotten about it until now. And besides, it's not like he went off too far if you ever want to visit the body. He's only out in the shed out the back. The marmsicles or the chode flankers don't seem to bother with eating his corpse. So, it's still in fairly good nick. Well, for someone that's dead at any rate.
Right, said Nancy. So, sorry for your loss. Do you mind if we take a look to see if the ladder is still in the shed?
No, I do not. But try to keep away from the garden. I don't want any of your footprints mucking the place up. I put a lot of work into that, you know.
Nancy glanced around at the barely cleared area of ground surrounding the treehouse.
Okay, she said. We'll be careful.
The being careful that Nancy promised involved herself, Bart, Martina and the sheriff tiptoeing around the roughly cut garden to the side of the treehouse that faced into the forest and away from the stream, and arriving at a large insulated shed. It had no windows, one door, thick wooden walls and roof, and some sort of mossy padding, and was extremely cool inside. Nancy had been the first to enter to the door, followed by Bart, followed by Martina, who was followed by the sheriff.
Look at all those things, said the sheriff.
He'd been looking at the floor-to-ceiling shelves that were built into every wall and packed full of the bodies of spontaligers.
There must be thousands here, noted Bart.
Bart walked further into the shed from the open door in daylight to take a closer look and tripped over something, causing him to curse.
Mind the step, warned Nancy.
She looked down to see that the step was actually a naked humanoid body clutching a ladder.
I think we found Natty.
Where?
Asked the sheriff.
There,
Nancy said, right in the middle of the floor.
So it is.
Don't know why I didn't spot him earlier. He's not exactly small. Plus, he's bollock naked.
Nancy leaned over, and with as much dignity and respect as she could muster, prized the ladder from the frozen grip of Nettie's deceased hands. The ladder was not much more than 2 meters in length and was made of wood. In every respect, it was a very unremarkable piece of equipment. Nancy left the bollock naked and now ladderless corpse of Nettie McAspoke and lifted the ladder out of the shed. At least we know this thing works, she said. She got no response. And that was it for the early evening on the third day of the first human crewed mission to another planet. An insignificant ladder, a Martian waitress slash astronaut called Martina Ruddlesplitch, a Martian sheriff, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMurrow, European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy McGinley, a bollock naked former Jupiterian in a shed, a garden proud bollock naked Jupiterian living in a treehouse, 46,780 dead spontaligers, and a very angry wizard with a broken wand on Jupiter. And that was For Your Sins, chapter 20 of Nancy Graham, the Space Ranger, and 21 will be out next week.